What's up, TFOs? We are back. It is 2026. Happy 2026 to you. It's your man, Danny Brams. And yes, we are back. Charlotte FC is set to open the 2026 season with all kinds of changes in store for the crown. But we are still here on the Charlotte Soccer Show. So welcome back to another year. Co-host, co-creator, co-mastermind of the show, John Hayes, is not on board for this one. He's and I will be getting together for to talk the team soon enough. We've been talking. We've been doing some planning stuff for the show, talking about things that we want to do this year and whatnot. Can't wait to be back. Excited for another season. Again, like we said, lots of change is in store, and we are still here. Thank you for being here with us. Hair's a little thinner. I'm losing my hair faster than ever these days. Jersey fits a little tighter. Maybe I need to hit the gym a little harder. Still rolling with my Summit coffee as my wingman for the show, so we're loving that. I have a new accessory in the old background. This is my Dean Smith cube, my cube of Deans, if you will. Just an absolutely lovely accessory that's been added to the mix here, and it was a Christmas gift from a very special someone. Dino's at the wheel, so thank you very much. Someone who obviously gets me very well. So Dino's always on board for another season. We got a new signing. We're going to decode the presser. We're opening this episode right now. We're bringing it back for the first episode of 2026 here because the team has spoken. Dean has spoken. Ashley has spoken. More players will be speaking as the week goes on. And including later this week, we're going to hear from Charlotte FC's newest player, Luca Della Torre. He is the signing of this offseason so far. Not to say there won't be more signings as this window continues, but that is the guy that Charlotte FC has brought in. Who is he? If you don't know him, played for Celta Vigo in the Spanish League, played for San Diego FC last year, which I believe was the best team in the West. And if you're watching on YouTube right now, you will see some stats we've put on the screen here. He's our man in the middle is what I kind of want to call him. He's coming in to play that 6-8 role and sort of be an improvement on the Diani spot. Obviously, Pep Biel is back. You can imagine Luca Della Torre, Brant Bronico, Diani fighting for that third midfield spot with Pep and Ashley Westwood. Although Westwood, you know, who knows what's in store for him. Those are all things we're going to talk about more. I'm sure both Dino and Ashley will be addressing Luca Torre's addition to the club here in their upcoming pressers. I have not listened, but I'm about to. We're going to listen and discover them all together. But you got to like what you see from Della Torre here, apart from being a guy who's been a U.S. men's national team player. He's 27 years old, I believe, just right in the prime of his career, 24 starts for San Diego last year. 34 overall appearances, scored 5 goals and an assist. Heavy, heavy heat map action down the left side, both in defense and offense. Looks like a little red dot on the corner spot there means he's down for a set piece or two. So in all likelihood, this guy is a long-term Westwood replacement. He is a now-term improve the squad. If he's going to be a starter, then he's not really necessarily a Westwood replacement. We can get into all that. Those are technicalities. Those are questions that are still being answered as training camp develops and whatnot. But for now, we're going to decode the presser. We heard from Dean, and I will be breaking that down right now. There's going to be a second episode in the feed, so make sure you check the YouTube feed. We're going to get it back going again this year. We're back for more, as always. Year 5 of Charlotte FC, year 5 of Charlotte Soccer Show. We're going to talk about there's a kit leak. There's a leaked kit out there. If you haven't seen pictures of like this potential, what's going to be the 2026 blue and white kit. If it's the one I'm thinking of, if we're looking at the same one, it looks pretty bad to me, but we will talk about all that. For now, let's hear from Dean. Let's listen to our boy. My boyfriend's back. Hey, la, hey, la.
Where do you feel like the mentality of the team is?
I think the mentality is in a good place. I mean, there's not loads of turnover in terms of roster building. We've got the foundations of a really good team. I think we proved that last season, the regular season, and I think what we've done in the regular season, we want to go further now. We want to go and build and win things, and that's the important thing. So the mentality.
Shout out to Bobby Weir. We're going to go further.
mentality is there. The players have had their first day today. I've had a meeting with them this morning. Not everybody's back yet. We've got some couple of players in the AFCON. We've been in the AFCON as well. So yeah, we're in a good place.
When do you expect,
namely, Wilfred Zaha playing in the AFCON with Ivory Coast? Bit of an important player for Charlotte FC.
Wilf and Rodolfo to join.
Rodolfo will probably be back in a week. Wilf will probably come back in about 10 days, just to give them a little bit of a breather. You know, their break has been obviously a lot shorter than everybody else's, with the AFCON playing over the Christmas period as well. So we've given them both a little bit of extra time.
Whether it's stated or just internal, is there an increased amount of pressure to get something more tangible out of this season, whether it's a trophy, whether it's, you know, advancing in a...
I mean, it better be stated.
Yeah.
We're talking about it all the time.
I'm not sure there's much pressure, because there's always pressure. When you're a head coach of a team, there's always pressure because you have to win football games. And, you know, that's really important that, you know, you understand that. And, you know, I don't set targets of Supporters Shield or MLS Cup or US Open or Leagues Cup, you know, because you're trying to win all of them. You try and win whichever competition that you go into. So, you know, that pressure will always be intrinsic.
What do you make of Luka?
Here we go.
One session.
What do you know about him? How about that?
Yeah, no, listen, I spoke to him at length before we brought him in. I wanted to understand that he knew what he was coming into, what he could bring into our club as well, what to expect from me, what to expect, you know, off the team, and how we try to do things. And, you know, we fitted really well in terms of how the chat that we had, how we want to play, how he plays, you know, and the work that we're doing to try and be successful. He helps us in that. He's a player who connects. You know, he can connect the ball from the back to the front, and I think that's something that we've missed at times. And he's really tidy on the ball as well, and I think he'll be a really good signing for us.
I'm sure there's going to be more coming from Dean here in a second, but that is just, I love to hear that word first and foremost, a player who connects. I think when Charlotte FC was not at its best last year, it was all about a lack of connection, an inability to get the ball through the midfield from defense to offense, way too often relying on, you know, long balls over the top to try to beat defenders with lucky bounces and things like that. So the idea of Luka, who can make us a little bit more of a flowing, connected team through the midfield already, love to hear that. Being the first thing in the Dean's sights, that is a very good sign.
Might play with two defensive midfielders? Would you play with two offensive midfielders?
Or how? No, I've always said this in midfield, you know, I either play a flat three, two and a one, or a one and a two. So we'll continue to... And what Luka brings in is more flexibility for us. You know, you look at the players there now. You've got Westy, you've got Luka, you've got Diani, you've got Bronico, you've got Koulibaly coming through as well now. So we've got some really good, strong players in that position, which allows us to manage players a lot better, you know, during the season as well.
And now you've mentioned in the past wanting to attract...
I noticed that he doesn't necessarily name Pep in that group. That must, you know, he sort of sees Pep obviously in a different role as the creative midfielder. I wonder if he would call Pep a midfielder or a forward, or, you know, at this point. He's a midfielder in my mind. In my mind, Pep is sort of that number 10. So he just named, what, five guys there for two spots, really. So, you know, to me, it seems very clear that Brant Bronico is back on notice. He's going to have to fight his way back into the starting lineup. It's going to be tougher than ever, because Luca Della Torre does seem to be the real deal, and Ashley Westwood remains the captain of the club. But we move on.
Americans, and to have a guy on a national team level, on the year of the World Cup playing, what is that? Is that kind of what you're going for? You know, what is that,
and definitely, and I've always said it is difficult to bring the high-level Americans in. They do look to go abroad and go and play in Europe a lot. So I think it was a, you know, big pull for us to get Luka here, because they are hard to come by. So no, we're really pleased, and, you know, it fits well with what we want to do.
Do
Steve, how did we do it? How did we pull it off?
How's the central defense looking?
I've had three or four meetings with different ones already. You know, so that's an ongoing situation. We'd rather obviously get somebody in sooner than later. You know, but we have to, you know, wait. I think historically, you know, the winter market is always a tough market to bring players in, because, you know, a lot of the rest of the world are still playing. You know, so it is a difficult market, but there are players out there of the standard that we're looking for, you know, who can improve but also fit into the environment that we create here.
Dino will always get his talking points in there. I love that he kind of takes a little dig at the winter market thing and, you know, yet again, you know, makes an allusion to MLS calendar being off from the European calendar. But it's all right, Dean. They fixed it. You just got to stick around for a couple of years and eventually we're all going to be synced up. It's going to be great. You won't have this complaint to make anymore.
Will Andrew compete for a spot?
Andrew Privet, definitely. Yeah.
Of course.
I mean, listen, Andrew's a good player,
one
who
right
we still
now
feel can get better. You know, last season I thought he had a good first quarter of the season, and then he came out of the team a little bit. I think Tim and Addy played an awful lot, attitude wise, discipline, professionalism, top draw. And it wasn't long ago we was talking about him playing for the national team. So yeah, just, you know, players can have them little dips. He's had a little dip, but he's come through it, and he came through it at the end of last season. And you know, we're looking forward to him competing and playing a lot of games this season.
Any of the draft picks looking like they can
prove it forever?
I don't know yet. You know, it's a little bit too early. We'll have a look at them during pre-season and see how that goes. You know, Will Cleary just pushed Brant Bronico quite close on the first run of the day. So he's shown that there's a fit boy there. So we'll have a look at them and see how they are.
Thanks.
Daniel? I love that. That's a great little tale from training camp. Will Cleary, he's mentioned one of the MLS Super Draft picks, if you're not familiar with that name. Player that Charlotte FC picked up through the draft a couple weeks ago. Nice to know that they're out there running. They're trying to give Bronico a literal run for his money. Always a tall task, though.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that, you know, I went home for the winter and, you know, I went to watch Aston Villa play a number of times, I went to watch Everton, and, you know, David Moyes knew how we'd done this season. You know, Unai Emery knew how we'd done this season. A lot of the Aston Villa players know what's going on. So I think the game and Charlotte FC itself in America is getting far more established now than we probably realise. And I think the more established it gets, then the more the players want to come here. And that's a big thing for us. But, you know, you want to be successful as well. People seeing, you know, an average gate of 30-odd thousand at games is a pulling power. You know, and I think people will look at the World Cup this year as well and see what a good place this is to come and play football. And by doing that, it just opens the door for a lot of other top players to come to the league.
You know, as much as it pains me to still be doing the whole having to apologize for American soccer over and over and over again, I mean, Dean makes some prescient comments there. It is nice to think, you know, one thing I talk about with a lot of fellow Charlotte FC fan friends is just like how much of a bummer it is that, you know, we can't be in for guys like these big stars, you know, these Hunming Sun, and, you know, when he's coming, he's not even considering Charlotte, you know. We were mentioned in conjunction with the name Antoine Griezmann this year, but really kind of is more of a fake out because he wants to go to Miami. Like, Charlotte FC is nowhere near the top of the list of like clubs where like superstar European, like big names that you want to get, even though, I mean, you could call Will Zaha a superstar on some level, but you get my point. The longer you stick around, we're the fifth year, we're entering the fifth season of the club, you know, I mean, we can only do what we can do. So the longer you stick around, the better you do. it goes to show, you know, I don't think Dean's bragging there. He's just saying a statement of fact, but the fact of the matter is like, it pays to have a guy in managing your club with the name recognition and sort of connections and network over there in Europe that Dean Smith does, because he can go hang out at Aston Villa or a number of Premier League clubs and talk to, you know, some of the big name managers, David Moyes, whatever you may think of him. And they're gonna care a lot more about Charlotte FC because of Dean Smith connection than they care about, you know, Houston Dynamo's results or something, you know, for a club that they don't really have any connection to whatsoever.
We talked this morning about how last year's goal was top four, now it's even more elevated to trying to win it all. How good is that, that your players are as bought in terms of trying to push it even further in terms of their goals?
No, it's really good. I mean, it's building blocks. And I said to them this morning, you know, we've walked off a pitch twice, disappointed, once after the Orlando defeat in the playoff, and then, you know, New York at home, we finish in.
You've only walked off the pitch twice disappointed. I wish I could only say that I walked out of Bank of America Stadium twice disappointed, Dino. Unfortunately, my number of walking out disappointed is much, much higher than yours, but maybe that's just because I'm a fan.
In the top four, we couldn't get it done. And it's funny that when I look back and review the game at the end of last season, we actually went out the best we played in the playoff competition. You know, sometimes football can be cruel, but
unreal.
You know, our aim is
to
just keep
team.
Getting better and pushing them standards that we've got. So
we were the better,
you know,
team.
That now is to win something. You know, we finished top four. Now the only way you can get better is to try and win something.
Gotta win something. It's trophies or bust in 2026.
Now that we lost Bingham and Callender.
So we're looking to bring another goalkeeper in. You know, we're also looking at maybe promoting a goalkeeper from the legacy team into the first team. Also, probably look to get Big C out to play games, because for 4 or 5 years he's just been training regularly and he needs to go and play games. You know, once he does that, then he'll become, you know, part of our big plans for the first team. But, you know, you can't go and just throw a goalkeeper in and without him playing, you know, matches. So that's what we're doing. You know, we will have three goalkeepers at the club at the start of the season, and, you know, that's a big thing.
Not Dean Smith giving the classic, you need the job to get the experience, but you need the experience to get the job, cliche. Come on. Give Big C some love. I think Odunzo has all the makings of a great understudy for Kalina, but it is interesting to hear him say, why do you have to go sign a keeper when you had Callender? You might as well have just kept Callender. You had him on decent money. And, you know, prevented him from going to hurt you somewhere else. He went to Minnesota to go start for them. So would have been a nice guy to keep on the bench in my mind, but maybe he didn't want it. Who knows?
And how's Pep doing? How's his rehabilitation?
Yeah, good. I mean, you know, we'll probably treat him with kid gloves to start with. He'd done the first day today, no problem at all. He's pain-free. But when we do some of the double sessions in the first week, we'll probably, you know, wrap him up in a little bit of cotton wool to start with.
Put him in bubble wrap.
You know, and then the second week we'll see how he's tolerated the first week's training. But he's a big player for us, an important player, so we have to make sure that we make sure he's ready for the first game.
Thank you.
Jason?
I'm going to take a page out of John Hayes' book, and I'm going to say protect Pep Biel at all costs. Losing Pep last year pretty much knocked our season off the tracks, and really felt like probably were a contender to win the East with a fully firing Pep. But once he was gone, the attack did get a little toothless. Let's not start the season with Pep injured. Let's be very, very mindful, very intentional, very careful with Pep Biel in the preseason.
Dean, you've already referenced how short the winter break is or off season, and obviously there's going to be other transactions that happen on the roster throughout the year. But I'm just curious your assessment of how you feel you coming into this year. Were you able to address some of the needs you all felt that you had to make after last year?
Yeah, I mean, that's a continuation. I think recruitment always is. You know, we've lost one of our best players in Adi Melander. You know,
some would say our best.
The reports I got back from his first game for Middlesbrough were, you know, he was outstanding. You know, and I fully expect if they don't get promoted this year that there'll be Premier League teams looking at him. Such is you know, his standing within our group, but within the game as well. So we've got to look to replace him, which is what we're looking to do. We still haven't brought anybody in there. We've brought in the midfielder, what we needed. We still need depth in the fullback area. You know, and then obviously we've got Wilf that runs out, I think, in June. You know, we've got to get Leal into a better place than obviously he was last season. So, you know, he's late back in. His wife had a baby. So, you know, he's got a baby now to look after and, you know, show a family what he can go and do on the football pitch. If we get the Leal we had when he first came here, then, you know, that'll be, you know, benefit to us.
Ain't that the truth? It would be awesome to get something out of Abada. I personally, going into 2026, have already kind of written him off as sort of a not going to happen. So in my mind, I don't expect everyone to agree with this, but in my mind, if we get a productive Leal Abada going into this season, that's pretty much a new signing for me because he was absolutely nothing last year. Do believe he has the talent and ability to get it back. And I certainly would love to see that because we've already got him on the squad. But right now, it's just funny how much Abada has become an afterthought to so many people, even almost Dean. You heard, you know, he named several other key things and key important things before getting to that. But I agree. Congratulations on the new baby, Liel, and your wife. And hope all's well with those late nights. We all remember what it's like to have our first kid, I'm sure, those of us in that club. And start scoring some goals, Leo. You'll make a lot of people volunteering for babysitting duty, for sure.
Last season, when, you know, 9-game winning streak and then a tough, you know, May and June, like, what are some of the things that you can take away from that and bring it onto the squad for this year?
I think to continue what we was doing, really. I think we had the 9-match winning run, and then I think we got beat, didn't we, New York, and then did we win the next three, or...? I think so. But then, obviously, the playoffs is, you know, the be-all and end-all, you know, in America. You know, I've just been to watch the Panthers on Sunday, and what an atmosphere, and how unlucky and cruel sport can be sometimes. So, you know, we've got to make sure we're best prepared next year for when we get to the playoffs again.
And for, like, the younger players...
Not sure what that means, but hey. Just to harp on it one last time, best prepared to go into the playoffs probably means Wilf Zaha not getting a second yellow 5 minutes to go in the last game of the season. I don't know, best prepared.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I said to the players this morning, we'll have a few of the legacy players that will train with us. We'll have the draft picks training with us. And it's their opportunity now, while they're with us, to try and stay with us. And if they train really well and they look part of it, then there's no reason why they can't stay with us and become part of the squad, a bit like Baye did at the end of last season. You know, ended up getting his debut against DC, I think it was. You know, so players like that have got the opportunity, but it's theirs to take now. I mean, one of the things that has changed, obviously, Christian Fuchs left in the winter to go and take up a role with Newport County. And, you know, we're going to replace him, but we're also going to bring another coach in as well to, you know, because I want the players to take ownership of their careers this season and use us as facilitators to make them better. You know, and, you know, another coach is going to be tasked with, you know, individual development programs for all the players. So, you know, we can make them as good as we can get them.
Willie, I want to...
That is something you always got to admire and respect about Dino, is that he truly does believe in young players. You know, there's some aspect of it that he just loves to be known as the guy that gives players their debut. But I had forgotten about that till he just mentioned that Baye Koulibaly did make his debut last year against DC. You know, Nympha Burkimas made his debut, you know, seems like forever ago, but he'll be back at some point. All kinds of players. Dean loves to run a player out there for his debut, and you know he always notices. You notice he always keeps track of it too, as well.
Your prerogative to get somebody more stateside based, somebody from your footprint.
in Europe? What I guess is the goal from like where you're drawing from on that?
Yeah, no, we've had many applicants, and you know,
everybody
I'll
wants
sit down and decide where we go with that. At the moment, Gary's stepped up from Legacy to help us, you know, and you know, I'm not amiss to having Gary as part of it as well. He's a very, very good coach, but we'll sit down and organize that first.
In terms of where you
go, that's at Charlotte FC, you're always fighting for places, whether you're a player or a coach. You're always, there's always a chance to get in there and make your mark. You got to love that. Good luck to you, Gary, as you look to move up from next pro to the first team in the coaching ranks.
The roster, I know you mentioned backup goalkeeper, central defender. Is there anywhere else you're kind of looking to Zoran to be like, hey, we need more depth at this position or that position?
Well, we need fullback at depth. Depth in fullback, for sure. So that's an area that we're after. You know, I feel with Toklamati, Goodwin, and Tiger Smalls, I think that's a good three centre forwards to have. Pep Biel coming back's good. You know, we'll probably look and see how Rodolfo does and Emmanuel, to see how they do pre-season, to see if we have to, you know, cast the net further or whether we've got them in the building already. And you know, that's something that excites me, that we could have them in the building already.
I was going to say, it's great to have that developmental.
That's always exciting to have them in the building already.
You're
for
okay
sure
with the veteran presence, because it seemed like a lot of those teams in the playoffs bring veterans off the bench and things of that nature. Are you okay with where you are from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've got quite a few bodies within the building who are over 30. You know, Kalina, Byrne, Ream, Westwood, Toffolo. He's Bronico?
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of 30-plus-year-olds in the squad. What we need to bring is quality. And you know, we've brought in Luca, that's coming towards the best, you know, of his career. You know, the sort of age where now he can go and excel. You know, and that's the sort of players that we're looking to bring.
Carol, that's Steve.
The way things play.
We're about, you know, 60-70% of the way through this press conference, and Dean's starting to get annoyed. You can tell he's already a little tired of this. Welcome back, Dino's slightly chagrined face at some of these questions, but we press on. Love to hear all overall right now what I'm getting here. We'll do some wrap-up thoughts at the end, but loving everything that he's saying about Luca De La Torre, for sure. This is a guy who, you know, I knew was going to be a pretty big signing, and I can't wait to talk to Johnny about him, because this guy could truly be a very big impact player for Charlotte FC this year.
Last year, by the end of the year, you weren't using a lot of guys off the bench, and I'm just wondering, is a normal Dean Smith ideal world have a lot of rotation, you know, or are you kind of the guy who gets guys you like and feel comfortable with?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to rotate that much when you're winning 9 games on the spin. Yeah. It is because the players are earning the right to stay within the team. You know, yes, you do want finishers to come off the bench. You know, and improving that depth of the squad is going to be big for us. So, you know, I just mentioned there, you know, 5 midfielders. Only 3 of them are probably going to play at one time. So now we've got 2 midfielders who are going to be strong on the bench, who can come off and make a change. Probably didn't feel we had that as much last season.
Did you hear from anybody with Middlesbrough after Adilson's first game or so?
No, but I spoke to a few people. I think they won the first game 4-0, and, you know, he was excellent. And The feedback I got, and I've kept in touch with him to see how he was doing, and he's settled in really well. He's playing with an old player of mine, Matt Target. So I texted Matt to see how he was doing and to look after him. He said, I think he'll be looking after me. So yeah, he's established himself well so far.
Milanda, what a legend.
Got him talking about already. And Brandt and such, and overall fitness, and just your observation of the players, did they come in ready to go ahead of schedule, like they've been working off season?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think the game's changed, you know, in the last 10-15 years. You know, it's not so much now that you're having to get them fit and taking weight off them, and and body fat off them. They live their lives better now. There's more understanding. There's more help. You know, they know nutritionally what they should be doing away from here when it's the close season. They follow the training program. We've got, you know, we've got data that can track them now to make sure they're doing the work that they should be doing. So there's no excuses for players now to come back and be out of shape. So, you know, if they would feel the full force of my voice if they did come back and not in the shape we expect them.
So they're wearing the monitors at home now?
Yeah, they take them home and we can track, and yeah, they've all done their work.
Brutal.
There was no red lights on the body fat or weights they came back at, which you know, so no weight loss club this season.
Can they put one on a dog and just have the dog?
I tried that when I was playing, but no.
Oh, classic Dino. Oh, it's so good to be back. I just love to hear that laugh. Can you imagine? Oh, God forbid they put a freaking body fat tracker on me over the holidays this year. I indulged quite a bit from Thanksgiving to Christmas. So thank goodness I didn't have Big Brother staring down my neck at the biometrics. It would have been a bad, ugly scene. I can imagine Dean Smith coming in and yelling at me like, you know, no, you do not need your third piece of pecan pie today, buddy. What can I say?
How do you feel about Nymphasha and his potential involvement with the first team this season?
Again, Nympha will be with us for preseason. Obviously, he had an injury for the majority of last season where it was a metatarsal injury that he had to have surgery on. So he missed a lot. He's played games, you know, for the age group. The US and done well in the competition as well. So, you know, I'm excited to see how he comes and does again. And as I said, it's for them, and I've told them that this morning, them to take ownership of, you know, what they do and take this opportunity now when you're training with the first team players to show what you're capable of.
We'll wrap up,
Corey.
Let's wrap it up, baby.
No, we'll probably do a couple of weeks off and then get them back in and you know, do a bit of a pre-season. It's going to be weird having a bit of a break during the season, I must admit. You know, World Cup starts in June, does it? So I think our last game is towards the end of May, and then we start back in July, I think. So yeah, it'd be a little bit weird. But it is what it is. You know, there's a World Cup here. I'm not sure I'm going to watch too much of it, I must admit. There seems to be too many countries in
it's
it this
like
year.
The League's Cup 2 years ago.
There's so many countries in the World Cup this year.
To be fair, the next 2 years,
oh my gosh,
2 calendar years are very unconventional for you.
Very, very unconventional. It's going to be very different. And, you know, but we'll cope. You know, I get a couple of weeks off in June, so I'll manage to cope with that.
Shout out Dino hating on the World Cup. I might have to join you in that boycott, Dino. Maybe me and Dean Smith can just go golfing every day during the World Cup and break down some film. I'm sure Johnny Hayes would love to join us. The tea time set, Dino. You're welcome anytime. Bring Bobby. What an opening press conference for the season. I can't believe it. I love that at the end, though. You know, all jokes aside about the World Cup, it is going to be an incredibly strange year schedule-wise. It gets going in about 6 weeks. It's right around the corner, as they say. You know, there's even right after the World Cup ends, then MLS starts and Liga MX start the Leagues Cup. So there's back-to-back cups after that long. So we're going to start the regular season. We're going to take a long break to the World Cup. Then we're going to get right into the Leagues Cup. So it's going to be a couple months between league matches, I think, if I do recall correctly. I'll have to double-check that. Johnny and I will be here for the whole schedule breakdown, talking about the campaign. You know, we love to talk about the campaign, one of our sort of annual preseason rituals, and we will do it again this year, I'm sure, breaking things down into sort of, you know, the sections, the way that we see the season. And can't wait to do that with him and with y'all and get y'all's feedback. That was Decoding the Presser. Keep your eyes on the feed. I'm going to do one. Ashley Westwood spoke. Luca Della Torre is going to speak later this week. We're going to do these all week, sort of a re-welcome back week here on Charlotte Soccer Show. Charlotte FC is back, baby. Dean Smith is back. Ashley Westwood is back. Decoding the Presser's back. We love it all. It's season 5, and it's for the crown, baby.